is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio. Presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning on a Tomlin Tuesday because we got Mike Tomlin coming up after In the Locker Room with Wolf, Starks, and the Ninjas. And he'll be right there after the show because Wesley Euler comes in, which are one of our ranking ninjas. And we will do the show and take you right down to the south side. I think it's today, right? Wesley, am I correct? All right, we are correct. Max, how are you doing, my friend? Did you have a nice, safe trip last night?
It was safe, Wolf. It was long, but it was safe.
What time did you get home?
About 9 p.m.
So
11 o'clock East Coast. So,
oh my goodness!
Yeah. You know, it's the price of doing business, Wolf. That's all it is.
You price. Are the road warrior, buddy.
Yes. But you know what?
What's that?
Nothing a little B12 can't handle. You know,
and a whole lot of coffee. Are you a coffee guy or a non-coffee?
Sadly, I am not a coffee guy.
How does that work? I don't know. I couldn't face the day without coffee. Now, you know, a Coca-Cola guy?
A Coke Zero guy.
Okay, so. Coke Zero?
Yeah. Okay. Save the calories, you know, half the guilt, all the glory.
Half the guilt.
Yeah. You know, it's I do that. I'll do the occasional, like, healthy energy drink type of deal.
Right.
But, you know, I a lot of vitamins and supplements.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens.
On a daily basis, yeah.
Your wife's a doctor. She's going to vitamin you out there, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I do green tea, though.
I do
drink hot green tea. So
okay. All right.
That is one of the things I do enjoy.
I don't know. See, for me, I always think about, like, cavemen. You know, you got to go out. You got to do battle with a saber-toothed tiger or a woolly mammoth. You know, you got to go out and hunt. How do you do that without having a cup of Joe? I mean, come on.
Well, I don't think they necessarily brewed coffee before they went out on a hunt, especially right after they discovered fire. They didn't say, I need coffee. Let me milk this cacao bean down into a liquidy substance until I can consume it, and then I will be stronger than the saber tooth. No, they did not do that, and I'm sure they didn't have that thespian-like voice that I just did.
Yeah, I'm sure the troglodytes didn't go for that.
No, but you know what I would think? I think they would at least chew on some leaves maybe that they found that gave them energy, which, hint, that's like tea leaves.
It's like that TV show Taxi, the sitcom, years and years ago when the one guy made chocolate chip cookies out of cocoa leaves, and everybody was going, "Oh, these are wonderful!" And they kept eating them like they didn't realize what they were eating.
Yeah, wasn't Andy Kaufman's character? Was it Christopher
Lotka? It was Lotka.
Oh, it was Lotka. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I was about to say. I was like, trying to think. I'm like, because that was a heck of a cast. When you think
it really was. Yeah.
Yeah. Judd Hirsch. You had Christopher Lloyd. You had Andy Kaufman. You had Danny DeVito, and a host of other folks.
Man, I can't believe how good your memory is. That's excellent.
Yeah. No. Trust me. Listen. Nick at Night as a kid. Nick at Night as a kid.
Yep. There you go.
I watched Taxi. I watched Dobie Gillis. Green Acres,
Donna
Reed. Yeah, you know, I had a whole host of them. My Three Sons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did not quite get into Leave It to Beaver, but
no.
But everything else.
Yeah, you know, my dad, he ruled the TV room, you know what I mean, like on the weekends and that. And there was, you got Bunny Ears, there's three stations, that was it. And I remember Saturday night was Hee Haw, and Sunday night was Lawrence Welk. And
the Lawrence Welk show.
Yeah, a little bit of the bubbly.
Yeah, that's right. little variety hour, you know, at its finest.
Yes, exactly. So we would just groan. No, Dad, no.
And then he would go, and Ronnie, yes. Keep holding the bunny ears to the left. Dale, you're the channel changer. Wolf, Don't Craig, don't mess this up.
Yes, exactly. You get the aluminum foil and touch your brother on the head with it, it gets better reception.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness. All right. Well, what are you thinking about thus far already? Because we're going to throw out the question of the day today is going to be, do you think or will there be a, quote-unquote, in parentheses, Jeff Saturday effect on Monday night? That's going to be the question. What is the effect going to be?
I hope it is a Jeff Saturday effect to the tune of the more experienced coach wins. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like that's what I'm hoping the right effect will be.
Right.
In this situation. But, I mean, you know, you look at this team in the Colts, and they're fighting hard, right? They're
right.
fighting hard, you know, because they know that, hey, this is the coach we got. We might like him as a person. You rally around him. But at the end of the day, you know, professional coaches need to go ahead and do the job. I mean, Nick Sirianni, I think he struggled. He had some emotions.
Right.
Because obviously – the affection that he had for Frank Reich.
He thought of him as a mentor. Yeah.
Exactly. Mentor, coach. And so he looks up to him. So I'm sure, you know, emotions played into a lot of that decision making. I think there are no emotions here for us to deal with outside of we need a victory. Like that's the only emotion that we need to concern ourselves with is that is the nameless gray face. And we got to go out there and play. And we're going into their house. We have not fared well on the road this year.
Right.
So we need to go and we need to reestablish ourselves as road warriors. And I think that's got to be the mission, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, if you got to be Animal or Hawk, you know, you just need to.
I met those guys. I met those guys one time. Yeah.
Dude, awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I reached my hand out when at a wrestling match and they slapped my hand. Does that count?
Oh, yeah. You know, because we got to do Brush with Greatness. But my buddy in high school that I grew up with was Larry Fole, otherwise known as Lex Luger.
So
he came to.
You had the inside track.
Well, I got to go into the locker room, which was really hilarious when I was hanging out with him. And these guys are all in the locker room. They're all sitting around, you know, saying hi, you know, they're nice guys, you know. They got the pointed shoulder pads and everything else on, and, you know, and it was kind of crazy to just watch, you know, the supposed animosity that they had for others was not there in the locker room.
Yeah, well, you know, James Laurinaitis, his dad was, I want to say it was Animal.
Okay.
The linebacker for the Rams for a long time
from
Ohio State.
Right, yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, so that was it. So he was the son of one of them. Yeah. Yeah. So James, I mean, so I technically, I played against James. So it's like de facto two degrees removed from him, but you know, but one of my best friends,
2 degrees. What are we getting here? 6 degrees from Kevin Bacon.
Well, it's 7 degrees of separation. You know, nobody is more than 7 degrees on this entire planet. Thank you, Will Smith. That's the only thing I can say positive. That and the Fresh Prince were the two things that he gave me. But, you know, I look at it and, you know, like, that's just one of the crazy things when you think about that. Like, one of my best friends and my mentors, Thad Bullard, was Titus O'Neil in WWE. So more recent superstar. But, you know, we used to, when the guys, when WWE were rolling to town.
Right.
I would host those guys.
Oh, really?
You know, and So back when Coach was behind the desk, you know, Coach would call me up before they were coming to Pittsburgh. Hey, Max, you know, can we go? Well, do you have a spot we can go to afterwards just to kind of relax and hang out and just kind of decompress? So you know, I'd negotiate some deals with some different bars to either stay open late or let us get the VIP section for the WWE superstars.
You go hang with them.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
I mean, yeah.
You can't host it if you're not there.
Exactly. Then it's just, you know, it's not the same. I can't say host. You know, I have to say I'm just a guy. You know, just a jag, right? You know, just a guy planning stuff. But, no, I would go hang out with them. And, you know, I brought them to Heinz Bar one night, all of them. So, like, Gold Dust was up there and Schnitzky and Mabel and like all these WWE superstars, and then had him at some other spots before, but I just remember, you know, like Dave Bautista, who's now an actor.
Right, right.
But I just remember one time Bautista was up there, and I just remember I was like getting everybody situated, you know, like, hey, you know, bartender's here, da-da-da-da. I got behind the bar at one point to help out. But I remember going to the bathroom, and, you know, I'm sitting there at a urinal. And
okay, we're getting close to too much information, but that's okay.
No, it's not that too much. But I felt like them, like, dang, there's, you know, you feel like this dark, like, kind of shadow, like, yeah, this is pretty huge human in here. And then, you know, I do my business, go wash my head, and he's next to me, and I look in the mirror, and I'm like, oh, what's up? I'm Max. How you doing? He's like, Dave. He's like, thanks, man, for hooking this up. So it was just like, I was like, oh, yeah, washing hands next to Dave Bautista. Just a normal day,
How big is he? But yeah, is he a tall guy?
He's about 6'4", 6'5".
Okay.
You're talking about, like, not an ounce of fat on him.
Right. He's a massive human being.
Every bit 270, 285.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very large physical dude.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, as far as just mass. So, you know, a little bit like him, like Big Show. We hung out with Big Show and Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
And Triple H when Ben was the guest host for WWE. He brought the offensive line with him, so we were a part of the show one time when he was a guest manager or whatever. We were right up there in Wilkes-Barre, and so, you know, we got to hang with those guys, you know, before we went through the whole deal, and we actually were trying to teach the Big Show the backstage how to get in a 3-point stance, because he's such a huge. I mean, he is humongous, Wolf. It would be like taking two packages of kielbasa and trying to put your hand. And trying to shake two packages of kielbasa, like in a handshake motion. His hand is that huge.
Wow!
Because he's like 7'4", so and he's like 470, 480 pounds.
He wasn't quite as big as Andre.
No, he wasn't quite Andre size, but humongous nonetheless.
Yes.
And so, could you imagine us trying to teach this 7'4",
no,
almost 500-pound human how to get in a 3-point stance?
He'd still be taller than me in a 4-point stance, for crying out loud.
Exactly. But it was just, you know, like, those are the fun things. Like John Cena, we hung out. Oh, my God. John Cena gave us so many, like, freaking wristbands.
Oh, really?
Because that was, like, his thing, right? He would wear, like, all these wristbands up his arm and everything, and he had the hat. He gave us so much swag, but he was a huge Patriots fan.
Oh.
You know, like,
oh,
like he, like, because he's from Boston. So he's just, you know, yeah, Boston. And he has, like, when he's not, like, talking, like, on air and everything,
right,
like, he has the most towny accent of all time.
Does he really?
It was awesome. It was glorious. I was like, dude. But, yeah, so, I mean, that's just one of the cool things. Like, because at the end of the day, you realize, just like we're entertainers and athletes, like, they're entertainers and athletes as well.
Right.
And so it's that mutual respect that you have for each other and that admiration. And it was just really nice, you know, to see them not – in character. I'm sure, like, just like if they were to come up and meet us at, like, an autograph signing or right before we're about to go on the field, right?
Right.
It's a different mentality versus when we're in our free space and you get to know people. So it's just one of those cool things that I'll always remember, you know, getting to hang out with some of those guys and just see them, you know, behind the scenes, which was really nice to share that with them.
They're good guys, you know, by and large.
Yeah.
Most they're good guys. A lot of them have a football background, you know, based football background.
Uh-huh.
And it's a natural kind of, like, you know, mutual admiration society. They go out there, they lock up and lock and load and get in the ring and stuff, and it's just a different ring or a different stadium is all it is between, you know, ball players and wrestlers.
And you know, and I have a wrestling background, you know, as a kid with my brothers, and mm-hmm. we'd find a mattress, you know, and
oh yeah,
you'd attempt to do those things. Like, you know, I definitely tried to do the over the head press on my little brother, and that never worked out well. Or you put him in a, what was it? The Alabama slam,
right?
Where you had a rolling
or
slam.
Figure four, you know?
Oh, the figure four leg lock is legendary.
Legendary.
I mean,
you know,
that's legendary.
There's nothing like Ric Flair telling the referee, ask him, ref, ask him if he wants to tap out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And you see all that feathered goodness just flying in the air as he's rocking up and down.
If you
Ric Flair, also a funny guy to hang out with.
Yes. If you want to be the man, you got to beat the man.
Woo. Absolutely. Woo!
Your woo was better.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm trying to tone it down because I'm obviously speaking into a speaker. I don't want to pierce anybody's ears over the airwaves.
True, good point.
But the Irish whip, you know, where you smack them across the chest, yep, bare-chested. Yep. Oh, man, yeah. Anywho, yeah.
Just to
finish up about that.
Yeah, just to finish up, though, I got to say, I had the honor and privilege of meeting Bruno Sammartino on a number of occasions. He came over to my gym one time. He did a commercial thing or something, but he was just such a tremendous, tremendous man. I mean, the stories of his upbringing and how in World War II, you know, his mom took him up out of the town, and they survived the winter hiding in caves as the Nazis came through. It was just amazing. His life story was just one of just an incredible man and doing some amazing things. I have great admiration for Bruno. He was something special, that's for sure. All right, we got to get back to football. So
Well, at least briefly.
Yes.
At least briefly.
Exactly.
We'll get a brief little preview before we go to break.
Absolutely. So. The big question, again, to me is, what is the Saturday effect? Is the Saturday effect going to be something real? You know, we spent so much time talking about, should the Colts have done that? Should Robert Irsay have hired Jeff Saturday out of nowhere like that? We didn't even take the time to really consider, what's the effect going to be? You know, I mean, to really distill it down to its essence, first, Jeff had to win over the coach's room, then the player's room. But a lot of guys, in short term, when you have a changing of the head man, it can stimulate some sort of, I don't know, response where everybody's like, well, if the head man get fired, we all can be fired. You know what I mean? And it kind of puts a little more inspiration / desperation in your preparation and your play. And I just wonder, is this, you know, what we've seen the results? We got to win the first game. Second game takes Philadelphia. They were up by 10 at one point over the Philly Eagles, right? And took them to the limit before they lost. And I'm sitting there going, is this kind of like a dispelling of the Saturday effect? Or is Jeff got something more to him and he's got the guys behind him? He's got the coaches with him. It's interesting to me.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's one of those where you look at it and you have to wonder how much is it fluff and how much is it actually, you know, actual
right.
meat. And I think one of the things that you can probably look at and say, Jonathan Taylor's still the real deal.
Right, you know what I'm saying? He's not had the same success going thus far as he did last year. But, yeah, there's no doubt he can still turn that baby around anytime.
Yeah, well, I mean, and last week he rushed for 143 yards the week before.
Right, but coming off that 1,800, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Last year, everything.
This is definitely like a letdown year, and I think offensive line play has a lot to do with that for him.
Yeah.
New pieces, a lot of guys injured. So, you know, because that – well, you're talking about 1,800 yards. Like, there's a lot of will and want to in there.
Right.
Mixed with offensive line play. And I think that also makes the quarterback's job easier when he is running at a high level. But you look at it in the Eagles game, I mean, he was still pulling off 3.8 a clip. You know, had the 28-yarder at a tutty in the game. You know, the biggest thing is going to be how good is that offensive line?
Yeah.
You know, are they going to be able to hold up? And I think I like our defensive line versus them. Now, when you get a little bit later, I mean, we obviously had our own bugaboo issues.
It ain't so.
What? What am I saying? Never mind. Don't worry about nothing to see here. Carnival Barker. All right, move on to the next end, everybody.
Move along.
But it will be interesting. And you know what? In the next segment, I do want to talk about, you know, the Colts defense, because I think that's something that's going to be intriguing as far as doing just a big picture overview of that game against the Eagles and everything when we come back here.
No problem. Take it away, my friend.
All righty. When we come back, like I said, we're going to talk more about the Saturday effect and the Colts and, of course, you know, post-Eagles. You know, Eastern PA got the victory. Now Western PA needs the victory up against the Fighting Jeff Saturdays. When we come back here in the locker room, with Wolf and Starks on ESPN and SNR Radio.
In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio. Presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Welcome back, everybody. You're in the Locker Room, Wolf, Starks, and the Ninjas. Max, we were talking about, number one, what's the Saturday effect on Monday night? A little play on words there. You know what I mean? Come on. Got it. Low-hanging
fruit.
There
we fruit.
Go. You got to go low-hanging fruit. Right, my friend?
Listen, nothing wrong with that. And expertly done, my friend, I will say.
And we also got to throw in, we've got the Spanish-speaking broadcast team of, it's Alvaro. Alvaro Martin is going to be on it with us at 11 o'clock. So we can. I'm interested in his perspective of last night. What he saw from, with the birds and who was it? The 49ers.
Yeah. I mean, we'll definitely have to see what Ronnie felt like after that game, because it just felt late. You know what I'm saying?
It did. I fell asleep again. Like,
Well, I mean, understandable. I mean, I caught the first half in the airplane, and then of course transit getting back home, and all of a sudden, I mean, I turned it on it was like 14-10, right? It was a tight game, and then by the time I turned it back on, it was 38-10. I was like, oh my God, what happened? Once they got the fourth quarter,
they were only down 7 points at halftime, and then it just poof.
I went. They kicked the field goal, 17-10 to go in at the half. And then the Niners shut them out. This is their third game in a row shutting out opponents in the second half from scoring.
Okay.
That's a huge thing. And they're a big team that does four-man rush, right?
Yeah.
And drop guys into coverage. And that's how they're able to, take advantage of a lot of things. I mean, they covered up. They didn't allow the Cardinals to screen that much, I can tell you that much. Every time the Cardinals tried to screen, it's like they knew exactly when it was going to happen.
Does it seem like everybody knows when we're screening? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
We need some screens. That's what we need.
People know when the Cardinals screen and the Steelers screen. What is the common factor between those two teams? Let me think. Oh, that's right. It's the Wolf effect.
Somehow I'm giving it away.
Yeah.
Ronnie is,
I don't know what it is. It's like they look up there, and I don't know if they're like, it's a Wolfley. They would screen here. Guys, it's a screen. I don't know. There's a guy with binoculars on the sidelines, like, looking at the booth. And they can sense the twitch in your eye. I don't know what it is. But, no. And that's one of the things. Like, some of those squads, like, and I thought Cam has a great Spidey sense for it, right?
Right.
Like,
he showed it in the game. Yeah.
Showed it in the game. He was like, wait a second. Oh, I took two steps past the line of scrimmage. All right. Something bad's happened. There's a booby trap.
Yep.
It's like back up, get wide. And that's what he did, blocking out Samaje Perine on an occasion. Other times, chasing it down from behind. But that's just it takes a skill set. And if you're a team that is intent on running screen game, like, you've got to be really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes reps. It takes a lot of reps.
It does.
And it takes intention. This isn't a change-up. If we took probably the same approach to shovel passes and jet sweeps, we might be better. Might be a little better at screens.
Yeah. There's no doubt about it. I mean, those plays have a valid application at appropriate times. There's no doubt about it in my mind. It's just, to me, I always like the screens, especially the slip screens to the back, because you get, if you're on the front side, you get the kick out. That's pretty, it pretty much declares itself if you're that kick out guy. On the back side, you get to peel back and maybe catch somebody with their eyes going down. Well, now today you can't do that as much. I liked when you could T-bone a guy, creep up on him and bam-o.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's now you kind of have to get up. You have to kind of box about like, whoa.
You've got to show three forms of ID and ask his permission before you can hit him from the blind side. You got to tap him on the shoulder, introduce yourself.
Or you could just ask his sleep number setting, and then therefore it's like having three forms of ID. Because if a guy has it, then sleep it leads to a conversation.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then he's not making the tackle because he's engaged in this conversation. Because if you do have a sleep number, you can appreciate what number it's set on. And then the fact that your partner can then set a different number. But then if he doesn't, he wants to know the mystery of said sleep number and wants to know how that really affects things if you could switch those settings on either side of the bed. I'm just saying, you know, it's a win-win if you ask for the sleep number setting, you know.
I got because, that.
You know, is it whatever you could do to distract them without actually violently hitting them and taking them to the ground is what we're trying to get at here. But I think that's just, you know, the slip screen. I love that. I love tight end delay screens.
Yes, you know, that's another I love that one.
Because that gets the tackle involved. Usually the tackle's involved. We're climbing, baby.
Yep, there you go.
I'll never forget. We ran a tight end screen in Detroit. This was the year Larry Foote actually left the Steelers in free agency and went to Detroit.
I remember that game. Yes.
Yeah. So we're screening off Footy, and I just remember, you know, kind of setting out, tossing the DN wide, and then climbing up the hash, and Footy's right there. And it's me and Footy. And I just lock up with Footy. Like I had Footy dead to rights, right? I could have nailed Footy. I could have ear holed him and just sent him to the dirt.
How do you sneak up on anybody as big as you are? You can't.
listen. Even Sasquatch can hide in the redwoods. Okay, you know what I'm saying?
I got you.
You know, so I feel like I have Sasquatch esque elusiveness when on a field.
Cat-like because like one of those things,
you know, it's just like you're not expecting me to be there, and then I'm there all of a sudden, you know, just wham, because you're looking at everything else. You're worried,
you're
oh
like
my
the
god,
shadow
this guy's
from that old 50s radio show, The Shadow. Well,
mm-hmm. But and even more so, guys were so worried about Hines, right?
Yeah,
on the second
right.
or third, they don't think about the lineman. It's like it's too obvious, and then all of a sudden, obvious hurts.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? Like it hurts. Because I know I've gotten out on a couple, you know, we have like wide toss plays, taxi and boss and stuff like that. And I've absolutely like completely wiped out defensive backs. but in this one, the tight end delay, I had Footy dead to rights. I was about to ear hole him and I came up soft. I'm like, that's my boy. I'm like,
it's
you know,
hard.
This is my teammate. It's tough to just like hate someone that you like for so long.
Yep.
You know? And so I got him. I locked him up, and I said count your lucky stars.
I know he gave some sort of smart aleck.
Oh, absolutely!
He can't help it. Yeah.
Oh yeah, he was like, yeah, you're lucky I didn't see it, or else I would have came and hit you. I was like, but you didn't, and you wouldn't. So moving on to the next play, we got like a 16-yard gain on it. It was great.
Oh, that's beautiful. All right, you had one to start talking defensively in this segment here. So hit me with what you got.
Well, I mean, just think about this. You know, we're talking about the Indianapolis Colts and just kind of
right
where they are. You know, you've got some good guys on the line of scrimmage. I mean, you got Yannick Ngakoue off the edge. You got DeForest Buckner.
That's the guy that really bugs me. He's a great player, DeForest Buckner.
Yeah.
I think the things that he does,
man. He's such a stout player. I don't know why it didn't work out in San Francisco. I felt like he's built off of those San Francisco guys, so he brings a lot of those traits with
him. Yeah,
and so that just creates a different level because he knows how to play leverages. He knows how to take on double teams. He knows how to split those double teams.
And he's a shapeshifter. Do you ever see? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I that's what I refer to those guys that kind of get a little Gumby like. You know, you can't get a good strike on them down the center because they're constantly changing their surface that's available to you, like mm-hmm. for punching or run blocking. You know, I mean, they're problematic. And he's one of these guys, he plays, like you talk about, with great leverage. For a tall guy, what is he, 6'7"? But, I mean, he plays with great under and up leverage. And he is really – he's no easy day at the beach, that's for sure.
He is not, and he's one cheeseburger away from 300 too. So a big body that has the athleticism,
yeah,
is always a trouble. And you have to remember, this team also plays a lot of four down. They're a 4-3 base team, and you know, so those guys are taught get upfield, cause disruption, cause issues, but you know, that's gonna be our challenge. That's gonna be the challenge, is how do you handle him and Grover Stewart in the middle? Because Grover Stewart is also a very large human.
Yeah,
he's
a plug guy.
Yeah, he's 6'6", 315. You know what I'm saying? He's an offensive tackle with wider hips. You know what I'm saying? So you've got those two guys in the middle that you have to deal with. The snack bunch, not as big as DJ Reader and BJ Hill as far as size width dimensions. They're taller. So what does that mean? When they get middle rush and get hands up, that's a tougher window for Kenny
right.
Pickett.
Yep. You're going to have that well. You got to throw out of mm-hmm. – it's like throwing out of a well. You know,
exactly.
I got to tell you something. Type. I was reading through this morning, and I happened upon an article I saw in Cincinnati, and they said DJ Reader, they gave him a standing O in the film room. I'm like, what in the world? So I read about it. Then I go back, and I check out what they say. I realize on that Sam Hubbard sack in the fourth quarter around the 13-minute mark, mm-hmm. when they lined up, they did double-A gap blitzers, but they dropped DJ Reader, all 350 pounds of him, and a zone just backed him off the ball like 5 yards, 8 yards off the ball. And it was like, I think Kenny looked at him, and I think that's what kind of stunned Kenny, was they dropped him and brought some other guys, and the squeeze call caused Hubbard to be able to come out and run freely because he didn't get picked up because of the squeeze call down. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And that's where the Bengals made their biggest hay, because we were showing them some double barrel stuff out of our big
right.
nickel.
But the funny part was they backed off DJ Reed.
I know.
Yeah, you know, it's like they putting a rhino in the middle of the field.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's the adjustments, right? That's the second half adjustments that they made. They said, okay, these guys want to go ahead and bite,
right?
And what Cincinnati did to combat it was they moved Samaje Perine up into one of the A gaps, like kind of up and off.
But they didn't on this position. On that one that on the sack I'm talking about.
Well, no, that was us. I'm saying what Cincinnati
you're
did
talking
offensively.
About okay, gotcha.
Yeah, Cincinnati right. did offensively to compare the adjustments. That's
remember,
what I'm saying.
I'm an old man. You gotta point me. In
yeah,
the
that's
what
I said.
That's
why I said when Cincinnati when they made the adjustment, they saw the same thing that we were doing, but they moved Samaje Perine up and into the A gap.
Now, didn't you guys
right
used to do that back
guard.
In the day? Because we did that.
Yeah, no, we had that as well. I mean, because, like, especially when you're talking about going up against Cincinnati, right, when Mike Zimmer was the D coordinator.
Yeah.
He was the one that originated that. So we had our own adjustments to it, but the Steelers never adjusted to those things. That's why you had the squeeze call still there.
Right.
And so that's why, because if you don't have to squeeze, right, and Najee or Benny Snell is sitting there, now if DJ Reader drops, guess what James Daniels is going to do? He's going to go look hunt. He's going to hunt for work. And guess what?
Right.
Now you keep Chooks on Sam Hubbard. And now if Sam Hubbard makes any
exactly.
move, James Daniels is there to ear hole him. And but because we had to squeeze, that means we had to come take the backer in
right.
the A gap.
Come down.
Squeeze down yeah. to DJ Reader. DJ Reader's dropping. You've lost that guy. And now you either have a running back on him or nobody on him. And that's why the result of that play was as such.
What killed me was just watching. Drop back because I was trying to remember, did Casey Hampton ever do any of that?
Casey Pop, like it had to have been rarely.
I would say yeah.
because in that Casey normally wouldn't be in.
Right, but just the fact that you would use him like that, that's what I don't know. It was just so funny to me to watch DJ yeah. Reader pop out and sit back there. It's like parking a bus or a van. In the middle, the second level.
His quads aren't built for that. You know what I'm saying? Like he is one of those, he's all hamstrings, right? And the hamstrings right. is the fire forward. So he's got the ham hocks on the backside. Those quads are there. you know, for pressing up and out. They're not for backpedaling. I can only imagine how funny that looked, because I don't remember that play exactly when I was watching through it, but I can just imagine it. And he's a human being that's got a lot of forward tilt and balance. So maybe that was already a key.
I like that.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he falls head forehead first. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's that right. type of guy.
He's a face he's a guy planner.
That, yeah, it's like if I fell on the back of my head, it's only because I got overwhelmed. You know what I'm saying? It's not because I tripped going backwards trying to get into a back pedal like a DB. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. it just doesn't happen. But Wolf, we need to step aside, take another break.
Dadgummit, you took us over again, didn't you?
I did not.
Maybe it's me and my fascination for DJ Reader.
Exactly. Your affinity for all things fat, you know, led us to this moment where we kicked over the time. But we come back, we will talk more.
Oh, man.
Gosh. Yeah, it's a melange. Listen, this is life skills day in the locker room. Whatever musings pop in our head, it seems like. But at the power hour, we will have Alvaro Martin. So
that's it.
You know, get through this segment. On the other end, we'll have Alvaro Martin. But you're in the locker room, Wolf and Starks, here on SNR and ESPN Radio.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Pickett hands it off, and over the top goes Najee, and that's a touchdown to make it more interesting than the people who have left wanted it to be.
All right, that was Najee Harris, two rushing touchdown performance against the Bengals on Sunday afternoon football. I guess technically all games are in the afternoon, but this is a late afternoon game. We follow this up, you know, Wolf, and I think one of the things that when you're talking about teams that go on the road and are successful, there's two things they must carry with them. One is obviously a four-man rush, which we need to continue to develop. Obviously, having TJ back in the fold gives us a great improvement at that. But the second is a rush game. And that's why I played that Najee clip, because I wanted to talk about, you know, just the rushing game. You know, we come off of that 200-plus performance, and, you know, obviously Sunday late afternoon was not the same. You know, you're down Jaylen Warren early in this contest, and Benny Snell was used a little bit, but not quite that much. So literally all the rushing really fell on Najee, right? 20 rushes, 90 yards in the game, two touchdowns. He did have that nice 19-yarder, which was cool to see that Najee could still rip off some explosive-like plays in the rush game. But you got to have support, right? Because your next leading rusher was Kenny Pickett with two. You know, you hand it off to Deontay and Steve Sims. But that's something that I think we got to work on. You know, I think that's going to be one of the things to hear from Mike Tomlin later today, the health of Jaylen Warren, because I thought we kind of started to develop something with a little 1-2 punch, and we kind of lost that earlier in the game.
Well, what's interesting to me is, and I think this is a great topic, Max, is, you know, through six games, Najee averaged 41 yards a game. All right, he was at 3.2 a carry. But the past two games, now he jumped up to 94.5 and 4.7. He's had back-to-back 20-carry games against the Bengals and the Saints. And he's got, 90 and 99-yard rush totals, averaging 4.5 and 5.0 over the last two games. His longest runs of the year have come in the last two games with 19 and 36. So it's interesting to me because I'm trying to, you know, I go back and you check the film and I go, what's different? And the only thing that I can come up, there's two possibilities, and I can't find the stats on how much tight end, you know, multiple tight end we've been using over the last two games, because I got stats up to the first six games, which, dadgummit, it doesn't help me at all, you know? I want to know. Yeah, exactly, the last two. But the other thing is I think it's, you know, you take that that outside zone, what we used to call a 29 crack, when he went to the end zone, I mean, there was no real reading. It was, you got one read. It's one read. And I think that's where I'm getting to, is I think the possibility is existing where you're really focusing on trying to get one read, just one read. You know, you simplify. You know, again, I go back to when I was talking to Jeff Harding's back in your day when you guys were heading for the Super Bowl and everything else. And I remember him talking about simplifying the playbook so that everybody's on the same page regardless of the defense and the spacing used up front and so forth. Everybody's got it. You know what I mean? And I always think about when you teach boxing, you start with the simplest things, a jab with one response based off it. When you teach counterpunching, you can't teach them six different punches and this is how you deal with it. You got to teach them one, because once you get to two options, you got a problem. You know what I mean? It takes time to build the reflexes. And I just wonder if we're seeing more of a like a one-read, more linear-style running that over the last couple of weeks.
Well, I think that might be one of the main culprits, right, is that if you can get a guy on the outside, it's sealing the edge, I think, is a key
sure.
thing.
Sure, and that's the other part of it.
And how you get to sealing that edge. Because I think, you know, where we ran into trouble and why guys were chasing down the backside was we were trying to focus on these inside zone plays.
Right.
And getting enough guys front side to combat, you know, the bigger size guys and getting on backers. We forgot about the backside. There was nothing backside to hold Jermaine Pratt, Sam Hubbard when we're running to the left, or Trey Hendrickson when we're running to the right. Like, we didn't have that kind of wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. On the backside. And I think a lot of it had to do with Miles Boykin not being available, right? The big guy who could go hit the in man on the line of scrimmage on the backside or dig out a safety in an 8-man box. You know, God bless Steven Sims and Gunnar Olszewski.
He tries.
Right?
He tries. He goes in there.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to give you every ounce of his being, which is not a lot of ounces. Yeah. When you're talking about going up against 240-plus pound human
right.
beings, and you are like a 190 soaking wet, you're giving up. I mean, 50-plus pounds. So, you know, Gunner, there was no threat there with Gunner or Steven Sims. But I think if you motion a Miles Boykin from that slot to the backside, or you send him in motion right before the snap, that's something that will get some attention.
Well, you also go ahead.
I was gonna say that's a large. It's a large prairie mammal roaming in the backfield that you don't want to get hit by.
Yeah, exactly so. Now, one of the things is you got the 6'12", and you got the Freiermuth. So when you go multiple tight end, you have an opportunity to be able to use one as that guy that seals off the end man on the line on the backside. But you know what? It was funny because on a couple of those to the outside, they were using Freiermuth almost like a decoy, trying to widen the end man on the line, you know, which left – Jermaine Pratt the ability to scrape on the B gap, and nobody's there. I'm like going, that's not sound. You know, that doesn't work. I mean, because Pratt's not going to bother with that. And from what he's seeing, from where his vantage point is going to be, he's not going to be influenced by a backside tight end.
No, he absolutely isn't, and that's why I think, you know, when you look at the film, I think that's what you got to bring into this game, because Yannick Ngakoue is the same type of dude, right? Kelly Pay. Or Quiddipay. Yeah, getting these names.
I know. This is one of these teams that we don't see a lot, so it's like, eesh.
Yeah, so it's like, all right. But those guys are going to be influenced as well. I think you have to take some of those lessons from this game and correct those for the next game, because it's going to be another four-down team, right? That's the same way that the Bengals are constructed, the same way the Saints were constructed. I just thought we had a better game plan going into the Saints game than we did against the Bengals, and we didn't adjust fast enough to what they were doing and what they would respect and wouldn't respect. Well, Connor Hayward, hello. How you doing, bud?
Yep.
We're going to need you. A little bit on the backside action. Need you to shorten the neck a little bit. Give us the H and H back. Make sure it's a hit. The H stands for hit. Hit back. but I digress, because, Wolf, you know what's up.
We
got to
get going, man.
This.
You know who we got at the top of the hour? Of the what hour?
Of the power hour! There we go. Oh, I love that. Yeah, little echo there.
Little echo.
We have Alvaro Martin.
Yes, Alvaro Martin.
The play-by-play voice of this Spanish broadcast of the Steelers Radio Network. Coming up next, we will get Alvaro's thoughts, and we'll start to also preview and get ready as well. See what he thought about, you know, the Indianapolis Colts. And, of course, what he thought about the game on Sunday when we come back here in the locker room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN and SNR Radio.